Good afternoon, everyone. This is Michael Towns with Kayani, and it is certainly my privilege. What a pleasure it is today to be on a call that's going to take place this afternoon. I believe today's call is going to be monumental. I believe it's going to really set the position of your business, the direction you want it to go in. And I have a pleasure today of introducing someone I have a tremendous amount of respect for. She and her husband just created a leadership development program, guys, that I honestly believe is just going to be segue into so many other possibilities, and it's definitely going to take your business to that next level. The name of the organization is called The Greatest Version of You, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of your organization. So without further ado, guys, I want to introduce to you all, I think everybody knows her, we all love her, Mrs. Becky Vercel. She's a double red diamond with our company. All that simply means that she's responsible for helping so many different people, and it just goes without saying, you talk about being a leader, about service, giving back to others. That's what this is about. She's put together a program, her and her husband, John, guys. Again, I just think it's fantastic. It's going to give us all that leadership, all those things about influence that we've heard over the years. I just think you guys are just going to be blown away by it. So without further ado, I want to welcome to everyone Mrs. Becky Vercel.
Thank you, Mr. Towns. I appreciate that. Just like Mr. Towns talked about, we're incredibly excited to be a part of this call today. We want to thank everyone for taking time away from work and families and their busy schedules and understanding, you know, the law of sacrifice of giving up something good to have something great. And we definitely have something great today for everybody on the phone. My husband, John, and I have had lots of brainstorming sessions on how we could provide a higher level of leadership training for our teams and even for ourselves. We get to a point, I think, where when you start to implement that in your life and developing yourself as the kind of leader that you would want to follow, let alone other people, you become hungry for it and you're looking for ways to fuel yourself. And I believe developing your mind and sharpening your leadership skills will always set you on the path to achieving your highest goals and aspirations in life. And from these aspirations, Greatest Version of You was born, and we talked about how incredible it would be to have someone like John C. Maxwell personally mentor this leadership program and just sort of chalked it up to big thinking, and as we know, big thinking pays off, and here we are a few years later launching our Greatest Version of You program and having the pleasure of introducing Dr. John C. Maxwell live today. For those of you who must have been living under a rock the last 15 years, John C. Maxwell is an internationally renowned leadership expert, a coach, an author who has sold over 21 million books. Dr. Maxwell founded EQIP and the John Maxwell Company organizations that have trained more than 5 million leaders in over 174 countries. Every year he speaks to Fortune 100 companies, international government leaders, and organizations such as the United States Military Academy in West Point, the National Football League, and the United Nations, a New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Business Week best-selling author. Maxwell's The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, which is my personal favorite, has sold more than 2 million copies. Developing the Leader Within You and The 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader have sold more than 1 million copies each. His latest book, which if you don't have it, go out and buy it tonight, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, is already one of my favorite books of all time. And for years, when people have asked me who my mentors and coaches and influences have been throughout my career, I've always told people that John C. Maxwell has been one of my personal mentors. And even though he's never personally met me or mentored me one-on-one, he's always been a huge influence in my life. And tonight, today, I get to change that story, and so does every individual on the phone. Without any more delay, I'd love to welcome and turn the call over to Dr. John C. Maxwell.
Hey, Becky, thank you very much for that wonderful introduction, and I'm real excited about our time together, not only today, but monthly. And it is my desire to come into your lives and share with you things that will really add value to you. That's my commitment. In fact, when I die, I said many times, I want them to put on my tombstone that John Maxwell added value to leaders who multiply value to others. And that's really the way it works. If I can add value to you, there are a few hundred of you on this call. If I can add value to you, what happens is you'll add value to more. And so when I teach you, if I'm teaching 400 or 500 people here on the call, well, I'm probably teaching 4,000 or 5,000 people somewhere, because you're going to be taking what I give you and passing it on. And it really multiplies that way. So whenever I can have time with leaders and just kind of walk into their lives and teach them, then I'm blessed. And Becky, I have a goal this year. And my goal is to sit down with you and John, have a long lunch or have a long dinner, and just really get to know you better, because what I know of you is you and I are soulmates. You love helping people. You love adding value to others. You love leadership. You love personal growth. You love trying to not only find your purpose in life, but be fulfilled by reaching that purpose. And you're my kind of girl. And I'm just excited to be with you and to be spend some time with, you know, obviously with Kayani and just your company, and just enjoy what they're doing, because every one of you that are listening, you are adding value to a lot of people through your health products. And I know that some of you are already diamond in this business. And if you are, I want to encourage you. And hopefully maybe through these monthly sessions, you'll go higher and build 3 new diamonds and just absolutely bless others and bless yourself. And for you that are not there yet at diamond, I'm hoping, hey, why not reach it this year? Why not just kind of take the journey with me? So I'm very excited to be part of this program. I love the phrase, greater version of you. Wow, I like that. When it was first introduced to me, it just intrigued me. And I thought, now, this is what I like. I would want to become a greater version of me. I would like to expand and grow. And I kind of thought about where we were going. And I know that you talk a lot about in your business about a person's why, you know, their purpose. Why, you know, your why is why you became a part of Kayani. I mean, it's just, why are you part of this business? And everybody has a why. Some people have a little why. Some people have a big why. And if it's okay for a little bit today, I would like to teach on the subject, make your why bigger than you. Because what I've discovered is that in many occasions, people's you is bigger than their why. In other words, who they are and what they want is bigger than their purpose in life. They don't have a big purpose. And what's tremendous when you think of having a greater version of you, what's tremendous is you can expand your why. Your why can get greater. And what I've noticed is that when people lose their why, they lose their way. And I've watched it happen all the time, that all of a sudden what really motivated a person no longer motivates a person. What was the North Star no longer is a North Star in their life, and they just slowly begin to kind of lose their way. And we don't want that. We want to expand your why. We want your why to become greater. Because when a person has purpose, they have passion. And when they have purpose, they have direction. When they have passion, they have energy. And so I'd like to talk to you a little bit about how to make your why bigger than you. I go to South Africa quite a bit, usually twice a year, and I do quite a bit of leadership training there. And it's always a wonderful time for me, because I've been there so much that I've been able to develop quite a leadership audience. And I've always wanted to, in my times over there, I've always wanted to go over to Robben Island, to where Nelson Mandela was imprisoned. And a couple times I tried, and the weather wasn't really good, so I didn't go. But about a year ago, I went there, and a tremendous business leader, one of the top leaders in the whole country of Africa, very wealthy billionaire friend of mine, said, John, I've cleared the island, and you're going to go over. We'll take you over on my yacht, and you're just going to be able to visit the prison. And he said, all I've asked is that we can have a reporter with you, because I'd like to record what you think. And And he had a guide there for me to take me through the prison where Nelson Mandela spent many years imprisoned. And he brought over also a prison mate of Nelson Mandela's. And for 2.5 hours, I toured the facility and, you know, went over to the rock mine where Nelson Mandela every day went and broke rocks with the other prisoners. Went into the little cave where they would sit, half a dozen other one, and would talk about how when they were out of prison, how they wanted to see equality, to be part of South Africa's culture and to get rid of apartheid. And it was very inspirational to me. And there's a lot that I could say about that, but let me just say this. We came to his cell, and there were maybe 5-6 people with me, and I asked if I could go in his cell. It was a very small, 10 by 12, and they said yes. And so I went in his cell, and then I had him close the door. And then I asked if they would just kind of leave, and I said, I'd just like to have a few minutes by myself here. And so they left. And I stood in the cell. I looked at his little mat that laid on the floor, and I lay down on his mat a little bit and thought about the times where this great leader would lay here and dream of his country being a total country of freedom and justice. And I spent some time looking out the little bars, and it was in the bars, the little window that he had looked into the exercise area where the prisoners could take walks. But all you could see is another wall and not much to see. And it was very inspirational as I just kind of went inside myself for a period of time. Thank God for this amazing man. So when they came back and they let me out and we started walking out in that exercise yard, the reporter asked me, said, John, what are your thoughts? And I looked at her and I said, it's obvious to me that you cannot imprison greatness. You just can't. You can't lock it up. You can't stuff it up. You can't do away with it. The greatness that you have within you always wants out. And the greatness that you have within you always seeks its place and its purpose. And I would say to you that I would hope that our sessions together would start to kind of unlock you. Somebody asked me one time what I did, and I said, well, I'm a lid lifter. And they weren't sure what that was. And I just basically said, everybody has a self-imposed lid on their potential, and I come alongside. I began to lift that lid and let them begin to stretch a little bit and reach the potential that I think that they really have. And I know that that's what Becky does for you and John. I know they do. I know of their reputation. And I know that every day they ask themselves a very simple question. John Wooden was a mentor of mine and a very close friend. And John and I would have discussions about this all the time. And John taught me that every day as a coach, a very successful coach that voted by Sports Illustrated as the most successful coach in the 20th century. John Wooden said every day I would ask myself the question, how can I make my team better? How can I improve my team? He said, that's what leaders do. That's what coaches do. How can I improve my team? Well, I know that's what Becky and John do. They every day ask themselves this question, how can the team get better? The greater version of you. And this monthly teaching session that we're doing right now is their attempt to make you better. And the reason they're attempting to make you better is because you have this why in you. You've got this purpose. And some for some of you, it's locked up. But I've got good news for you. You really can't imprison greatness. And it wants to get out. And the potential that you have, and the lid that right now perhaps is holding that potential down, it can be lifted. This is what I love about leadership. The reason I'm so passionate about writing leadership, teaching leadership, connecting with leaders is because you can learn to lead. You can grow. You can develop your leadership. When I wrote my book, Developing the Leader Within You, in 1993, it was the first book that really basically said that you could develop yourself as a leader. Up until that time, people thought that if you were leaders because you were born to be a leader. That phrase, well, you know, they're a born leader. In fact, many times when I'm doing conferences, people during Q&A, they'll ask me, they'll say, John, are leaders born? And whenever they ask me, are leaders born, I always kind of laugh and say, always give the same answer, of course they are. I've never met an unborn leader, okay? Never met one. I don't want to either. But what they're really asking is not like, are leaders born? But what they're really asking is, are there some people when they're born they have it and they will lead, and some people when they're born they don't have it, so they'll follow. And without question, there are people that are born with leadership giftings or leadership leanings, just like there's some people born with musical giftings. No doubt about that. But every person can learn to lead. I know that for a fact. And I speak not theoretically at all. I speak practically. I've proven that. I have the largest leadership development training company in the world. 15 years ago, I started Equip with just a handful of people. And I had a goal in my lifetime to train and equip 1 million leaders internationally. And I thought that would be a major lifetime goal for me. 15 years later, we've trained 6 million leaders, 174 countries, as Becky said. Within 2 years, we will have trained leaders in every country of the world. And now, every 10 months, we train another million leaders. What was a lifetime goal for me 15 years ago now is a 10-month reality. What's amazing about this is that within six years, we will be training a million leaders every 2 months. Within 10 years, we'll be training a million leaders every month. And I know that you can train and develop leaders. I've done it myself. I've developed and trained many myself. And the good news is that you can learn to lead, and you can learn to lead better. So I don't know where you are right now in your leadership lit, from a 1 to a 10, whatever that number is. But here's what I know. Over this next year, we're going to lift that lid. I promise you, if you're willing to make the commitments you need to make, we will lift that lid. And every time you lift your lid of leadership one number, you expand your potential. Because everything, my friend, everything rises and falls on leadership. And I would encourage you to be real hungry during these sessions and come to these sessions really ready to learn, and then leave the sessions absolutely, absolutely ready to apply what you have learned. You see, I started teaching leadership back in 1976. I have made over 12,000 speeches on leadership since that time. I've written 73 books since that time. People say, wow, John, why are you so passionate about leadership still? I'm 65 years old. I've made all the money I need. I don't need any more money. I've already achieved a lot of things that people in their lifetime would like to achieve. People say, well, you know, why don't you just kind of back off, take it easy? Well, the reason I don't is because of my why. My why is big. In fact, my why is bigger today than ever. And it's the why that just continues to grow in my life, that constantly says, I don't want to stop. I don't want to quit. You know, I have no desire to retire. And I would hope that your why would increase, that desire to fulfill your purpose would just increase to a greater level. And it's more than just becoming a diamond. It's more than having people under you become diamonds. It's way, 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 it's way beyond that. It's the fact that you're adding value to people. When you put your health products in their hands, you not only develop a relationship with people, but you're really helping them get better. You're helping them live longer. You're helping them be healthier. So I think the question we want to tackle for a few minutes is a very simple question. How do we make our why bigger than it is right now? How do we make that why expand in our lives? And how is the why born? I mean, how does this why even get birthed within us? Okay. I think four things happens when you have a big why in your life. I think it begins with a calling. I really do. And I'm not trying to be mystical with you when I talk about a calling. I'm not trying to get spiritual with you when I talk about a calling. Let me tell you what a calling, I think, is. You have a calling when your purpose is greater than you. In other words, you are literally influenced and controlled by the purpose that you feel that you have to accomplish. And when your purpose is bigger than you, it's a calling. Trust me, it's a calling. I mean, it's something that you're not going to quit on, give up on, leave easily on, kind of get tired of. It's a calling. And I think that for your why to become bigger than you, for you to have a greater version of you than what you have right now, I think it begins with the calling and that purpose, which absolutely is the motivational factor within our life. Now, let me kind of break it down for you and how it worked in my life, and maybe it'll apply to your life. Let's try. I realized I had a why within me when, as a young person, I realized I want to make a difference. Now, I didn't know what all that meant, but I just knew I wanted to make a difference. I didn't know exactly how I was going to make a difference, but I knew I wanted to make a difference. I didn't know exactly what my gifts were at that time, so that I could make a difference, but I knew I wanted to make a difference. And wanting to make a difference is how my why was birthed. And I'm betting, Becky, I'm just betting, that the people on this call, that's exactly how you feel. You want to make a difference. You just want to make your life count. You just want to go through this life and add value to people. And I often define high morale is I want to make a difference. I just think it is. And I think people of high morale go around and they say, I make a difference. I'm making a difference. I made a difference. I think once you've helped somebody, once you've made a difference in somebody's life, I think you've got a high morale issue. I think you feel good about yourself. I think you feel good about what you're doing. Now, I think the reverse is also true, though. I really do. I define low morale as I don't make a difference. 90% of the people who live today don't feel that they're making a difference. Low self-esteem, low self-image, low morale. Absolutely no purpose in life. Victims just trying to exist, trying to just kind of hang on, make it through the day. And I think that when all of a sudden we look at ourselves and we say, I do want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in the lives of other people. I think that's the birthing of the why. And I think when you became a part of Kayani and you became a part of Becky's team and are on the greater version of you call today, I think that that all began with the fact that you want to make a difference. And I think for some of you, you've joined this team and you understand that you're sharing product with other people, but you're not really sure how you're going to make a difference, but you just know you want to make a difference. Let me just say this. If you want to make a difference, your why has been born. So it begins with a calling, but it doesn't stay there. Okay, that's just how it's born. That why is born with a calling. I want to make a difference. Secondly, it stands on a cause. In other words, if the why is going to last and if the why is going to expand, it has to be for a good reason. It's got to have some foundation to stand upon. It can't be a wish. It can't be just a whim. You can't wish your life to success. It's got to be for something that is solid, something that is worthwhile. Let me explain. For me, my calling, my why was birthed when I said, I want to make a difference. But my why went to a whole new level and began to expand when I went to the second phase. I want to make a difference, listen to me carefully, doing something that makes a difference. Now, I not only have a desire to make a difference in people's life, but I'm saying if I'm going to do that, I got to do something that makes a difference. In other words, I've got to have a cause. I've got to have a reason. I've got to have something that really does make a difference in people's lives. And in 1976, I came to the conclusion that everything rises and falls on leadership. And when I say everything rises on and falls on leadership, I believe that with all my heart. I believe every good thing that we have in life is a result of somebody led it well. And when countries are led by good leaders, good things happen. When countries are led by bad leaders, bad things happen. When business is led by good business people, good things happen. When business is led by bad business people, bad things happen. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And I became convinced of that in 1976. And let me tell you what's absolutely wonderful. In 2013, I'm more convinced of it than I was in 1976. My conviction has grown. And let me tell you why. Because my conviction was based upon truth. My conviction was based upon a cause that was worth me giving my life to. And that's why I'm absolutely passionate about what I do. That's why nobody has to talk me into starting. And nobody has to kind of keep me pumped up. I love people when they come to me and they say, John, what motivates you? And I just smile and I laugh and I say, I am personally motivated every day because I have a reason to live. When I realized that everything rises and falls on leadership, I said, I'm going to teach leadership then, because this will be the pathway to success for people. If I can teach people how to lead, I can teach people how to succeed. Did you hear me? How well you lead determines how well you succeed. And I've been teaching it now for, my goodness, almost 40 years. And it works. And it's real. And it's solid. So my why was birthed when I felt this calling that I wanted to make a difference. But it began to really get backbone. My why began to get structure to it when I understood that it not only begins with a calling, but it stands on a cause. What's your cause? The better health of people? The very fact that you can give them something in their life that will help them live a healthier life. What is your cause? What do you stand on? Because if you're going to go build your dream, you got to have a solid foundation, and your cause is your solid foundation. I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference. And to be honest with you, Becky, it was about this stage that I thought, oh, man, I think I've got it. I think I've really got it. I think I'm set now. I think I'm ready to fulfill my purpose. And I kind of thought I was kind of like I had arrived. And all of a sudden I realized that even if I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference, I can't make a difference that I want to just with those two phases. And I went to the third step of my why journey. I think it begins with a calling. I want to make a difference. I think it stands on a cause, doing something that makes a difference. But I think it has to spread. It spreads from me to we. In other words, if I'm really going to make a difference, I can't make a difference by myself. Teamwork makes the dream work. So it spreads from me to we. So I began to think about making the difference, and I went from I want to make a difference to I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference to I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference with people who want to make a difference. Oh, my. This is where making a difference compounds, and this is where why, your why compounds. It is true, teamwork makes the dream work. It is true that all compounding begins when you get with people of like purpose. And I want you to notice, I didn't say I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference with anyone. I didn't say that. I didn't even say I want to make a difference with people, doing something that makes a difference with people. Because there are a lot of people, they don't want to make a difference. It's not the people I need, it's the right kind of people I need. If I have people that have no why, I don't want them. They're just going to drag me down and slow the boat. I need to do this with people who really want to make a difference. In other words, you got to go find people that have the passion that you have the passion and have the desires that you have the desires. You got to go find the right people. I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference with people who want to make a difference. But when I find people that want to make a difference, and I promise you, in Skyani and in your organization, I want to promise you, that's who you want to be recruiting. That's who you want to be going after. That's the kind of person. You don't want everyone. Everyone ain't going to do it. You're not looking for a group. You're looking for a team. You're looking for people with like heart and like passion. That's how Becky has built her team. Becky and John have built their team on getting people around them that have that passion. That's why you're on the team. And this is a good thing. We just need more of you. And there are more of you. You just got to go find more of you because they're out there. And trust me, there are not only more of you out there, but there are more of you out there that are looking for somebody that can believe in them and something that they can believe in to begin their why and get that why birthed in their life. I often tell people, start small, but don't start alone. One is too small of a number to achieve greatness. It just is. One's okay, but one's too small of a number to achieve greatness. In my 17 laws of teamwork, I have a law that's called the Law of Mount Everest. And the Law of Mount Everest just simply says, as the challenge escalates, the need for teamwork elevates. It's a great law. It basically says that the greater the challenge, the greater the problem, the greater the obstacle, the greater the dream, the more you need a good team. Becky, when people tell me that, you know, they've got a dream, if I have a few minutes, I'll say, hey, tell me about it, because I like to encourage people. So when they tell me that they have a dream, I smile and I say, hey, great, this is good, this is good. And as soon as they finish telling me the dream, the first question I ask them, Becky, John, is this: who's on your team? Because the realization of your dream will greatly improve if you have good people on your team. Let me define a nightmare for you. A nightmare is a big dream and a bad team. That's a nightmare. I know all kinds of people, they have a big dream in their life, but they've never built a team, or they don't have a good team. And you and I are only as good as the people around us. That's the law of the inner circle. The law of the inner circle, the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership, says those who are closest to me determine the level of my success. That's a fact. The people that are closest to you, they're either your greatest asset or your greatest liability. They're either bringing you forward or putting you backwards. They're either lifting you or holding you down. No doubt about it. So I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference. What? With people who want to make a difference. Who are you recruiting? Who's on your team? Every once in a while, I have people say, well, you know, John, how do I motivate the people on my team? And I look at them and I say, don't even try. In my younger years, when I was naive, I thought I could go motivate everybody. I thought I could change everybody's life. I thought that I could absolutely make a difference for everybody. And one day I realized that I don't do any of those things. Now, I can create an environment for people to change, and I can create an environment for people to be motivated, and I can create an environment for people to find their purpose. As a leader, I do that. That's a responsibility. I try to do that all the time. I'm trying to create an environment for you in this greater version of you call. So I work hard on that. I sure do. But when the call is over, I can't change you. I can't motivate you. I can't make you to make a good decision. You have total control over your life. My mentor again, John Wooden, would say to me many times, there's a choice you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you. And the moment that I realized that my job in writing books and speaking and teaching and leadership and having been on calls like this, my job for you is to create an environment that's conducive for you to make good decisions And that's exactly what I'm trying to do. But I'm telling you, when you go out to recruit people, find people that already want to do something. You know, sometimes people, we hire people or bring them on and they're not motivated to do something. Well, let me tell you something. The greatest person you ever recruit is a person that's already self-motivated. Then just get them in the business. Get people that already think good and get them in the business. Get people that already have a good attitude and get them in the business. Go out and look for those kind of people, because those are the people that really will make a difference for you. But when the why is big, okay? Not when the why is little, when the why is big in your life. When it's big, it will be contagious. And that's the way that I can always tell when people have something within their life that is a big why. They become contagious with it. And why do they become contagious? Because it's so big inside of them, it can't stay there. They got to talk about it. They live it. They sleep it. They eat it. They dream it. They talk it. They discuss it. They can't even imagine their life without that why. And they're so excited about their why that they even have people come up to them and say, why are you so turned on with life? Why are you so excited? And why are you having such a good time? Well, it's because I belong to this amazing organization. I have this leader, Becky and John, and they really are adding value to me. And boy, I'm in Skyani, and can I tell you, we're doing health products. This stuff works. This stuff's changed me. This stuff will change you. But it spreads from me to we. It's contagious. It doesn't stay with you. Now, how does it spread from me to we? Oh, it's very simple. It's got to be in me first. I can't transport to you what I don't have. We give what we have. We teach what we know. That's a fact. We teach what we know and we reproduce what we are. And so when the why begins to grow, it will become contagious. No doubt about it. How contagious is your why? How many people are just joining the business because you're contagious? You are contagious with enthusiasm. You're contagious with success. And you're just absolutely contagious. And it just catches on. When we think of people being contagious, so many times we think of it being a health issue in a negative way. But I'm telling you, you can be contagious in a positive way. Trust me, I know that for a fact. And the reason I know that for a fact is because I've been contagious for years. I just attract major, wonderful people around me. In the 2100 People Laws of Leadership, there's a wonderful law, the law of magnetism, that says we attract who we are, not who we want. I see people all the time, they'll come to me and say, I want some good people in my organization. So I'll say, well, what kind of people do you want in your organization? They'll say, well, John, I want enthusiastic people. Okay, enthusiasm, that's good. Well, I want people that have high energy. Okay, high energy, that's good. Well, I want people that are committed. Okay, committed, that's good. And they'll start giving me this list, and I stop them and say, let me ask you a question. Do you have high energy? Are you enthusiastic? Are you committed? You see, if you are that, you will attract that. Birds of a feather flock together. If you aren't that, you won't attract that. You don't attract to you what you're not. You attract to you what you are. That's why this stuff has got to be in you to be real. If it's in you and it's real in you, it'll be very attractive to other people. So let me kind of finish this little talk off. And I want to stop in a few minutes to just to Becky for you can ask questions, and I'll do my best to answer a few of them before we sign off. The why that is within you, it begins with a calling. I want to make a difference. It stands on a cause. What's the cause? Doing something that makes a difference. It spreads from me to we. It becomes contagious. How does it do that? Well, I want to do something. I want to make a difference with something that makes a difference with people who want to make a difference with it. The vision, the dream has to go from me to we. The success. success of your dream isn't that you bought into it. The success of your dream is that you have had other people buy into it also.
Well, I will admit, Becky, when I got to the phase, I want to make a difference, doing something that makes a difference when people want to make a difference, I thought that I had it. I thought, okay, I'm done. I've got this why deal figured out. 2 years ago, I realized, I'm not done yet. There's another phase. The last phase of that why being really expanded in your life and becoming bigger than you is that it will breathe with urgency. It really will. You will have, with your why, a sense of urgency. So let me explain to you what that meant in my journey. I want to make a difference, doing something that makes a difference, with people who want to make a difference. Here we go. At a time when it makes a difference. That's the urgency. All great movements have a sense of urgency. I've got to get it done. I've got to do it now. I developed several years ago what I call urgency questions. I'll just give them to you quickly. If not me, who? If not now, when? If not here, where? And then back to me, if not me, why? You see, if not me, who? In other words, if I'm not going to get excited about doing something in life, then who is going to get excited about doing something in life? And if not now, when? If I can't get excited today, when do I get excited? Do I get excited tomorrow? Do I get excited in 2014? Is that a 2020 deal for me? And if not here, where? I mean, if I can't get excited where I am now, here, how am I going to get excited where I'm going? I know people, Becky, they've got destination disease. They just somehow think, boy, well, if I could just join that company, then I would get it made. Or if I could just meet that person, if I could just live there. And let me just say something. I love this quote because it's true. No matter where you are, there you are. And if you can't light a fire in your life right now, there are high odds that fire is not going to get lit. And if you can't sense urgency today, you're not going to sense urgency tomorrow. If you can't get motivated now, you're not going to get motivated next week. Motivation doesn't just come up and zap you. It's not like you're walking down the street and one day you get hit with a motivational lightning. It's choice. If not me, who? If not now, when? If not here, where? And if not me, why? In other words, if I'm not the one that's got the why in my life, why don't I have a why in my life? My good friend Drew Cathy, who founded Chick-fil-A, had this little slogan for his life so many years. If it's to be, it's up to me. All two-letter words. If it is to me, if it is to be, it is up to me. The sense of urgency is what will allow you to be successful today. I have never known a person to be successful and reach their full potential today that didn't sense urgency. So when the why is expanded and it's bigger than you, when your why is bigger than you, what are the results? A big why, a big purpose, a big reason. A big why, well, number one, it'll capture your heart. It always starts there. It doesn't start with the head. It starts with the heart. A big why will capture your heart. Secondly, a big why will then challenge your mind. And thirdly, a big why will change your behavior. And I look for those three things to be evidence of the big why in people's lives. People that have a why that is bigger than them. That why, that purpose has captured their heart, it's challenged their mind, and it truly has changed their behavior. So, gang, that's my lesson to you this time. Make your why bigger than you. And if that's the case, if it happens, or if the why isn't as big as you right now, but it's growing inside of you. You have great potential in this business. Trust me. You can become another Becky Purcell. You can become a diamond. You can build three new diamonds. You can be a greater version of you. You can be a major, major producer in Skyani. No question about it. You can make a difference. And Kayani is looking for people in this organization that just absolutely want to have a big why. So think about it. Next time you think of your company, Kayani, think of Wayani. Wayani. Put the purpose in the business. It'll make a difference in your life. How are we doing, Becky?
You're amazing. My heart and mind are just racing right now.
Well, I hope I've added value to you, and I hope I've added value to your wonderful people.
Well, and I think we've coined a new phrase with Wayani. I love it.
Isn't that fun?
That is really fun. I do have a question for you. You know, we've made obviously a basic principle of you know, that you've taught for years of how you are a direct reflection of the five people you hang out with the most. And we talk about creating that excitement and that posture with people. So if I'm a new leader in Kayani, how do I personally recognize the kind of people to surround myself by? What qualities am I looking for?
Well, you don't. If you're a new leader in Kayani, you probably don't. You haven't got enough experience. You don't know the business well enough. But I'll tell you how you identify those people. You go to the leaders of your company, the people that are already succeeding. And you look at them, and you either ask them through an interview or you just do observation. You look at them and say, okay, what characteristics do they have that make them a great leader? Why are they so successful in this business? And what you do is you begin to pinpoint their successes, and you begin to pinpoint what it is about their life and their character and their behavior that makes them do so well. And you begin to write those qualities down. And as you write those qualities down, the first question you ask is not, now, who can I find that has those qualities? The first thing you ask is, do I have those qualities? Hey, don't ever look for someone else until you find yourself first. Now, Becky, I'm just taking a moment. I'm sitting at my desk here in my office. And I'm just taking a moment, and I've got to write that quote down because I've never said it, okay?
I just wrote it down, so if you need me to read it back to you.
What did I say? Don't go looking for someone else till you found yourself. Is that what I said?
Yes, don't go looking for someone else till you've found yourself first.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just got to get this down.
No, do me a favor and topic your next book, that topic, and everybody on this phone can tell everybody that they heard it first.
Oh, on my new book? Or the one that's
coming
out?
When is your new book coming out?
Well, my next book will come out in October. My major books always come out the first of October. And so, I love it. Becky's wanting to give you guys the edge. And that's part of the benefit of being on the call, isn't it?
It is.
It's the new way. The book that it's been written, but it'll be published next October 2013, is a book entitled "Sometimes You Win and Sometimes You Learn," and I'm very excited about this book. I wrote a book about 10, 12 years ago called "Failing Forward," and it's changed lives. It really has. It's been one of the most effective books I've ever written because I teach people how to fail correctly. Well, this is almost like failing forward. Becky, let me tell you a funny quick story. I wrote "Failing Forward" on a cruise. Margaret and I were cruising, we were going to take a cruise in the fjords of Norway for 2 weeks. And about a month before we took the cruise, I looked on my calendar and I realized it was a 2-week cruise. And I said, Margaret, 2 weeks is a long time to see the fjords of Norway. You know, can we do a 1-week cruise? You know, I mean, can we reduce that little baby? And we couldn't. It was a 2-week cruise, and you know, and that was okay. Anybody that doesn't say believe in compromise has never been married successfully. So, so, So we went on the cruise 2 weeks, but we did a deal. We do deals a lot of times, and the deal was I would take a two-week cruise if she would let me write a book. And I literally write with a four-color pen and a legal pad. That's how I write my books. And so I wanted to write a book on failure. So on that cruise, we got a suite right at the front of the ship, all glass, so we could really see the fjords of Norway, okay? And I got a big table, and I would sit there every day, and I'd write. And we'd look at the fjords, and we'd see one, and I just would write the book and give it to Margaret, and she would read the pages and kind of give me her input. By the time I was done with that two-week cruise, I'd written the book. So she's walking off the ship with about, oh, I don't know, 230 legal pages of written stuff I've done. And so she walks off the ship, and she turns around. She said, "John, I really love this book." I said, "Well, thanks, babe." I said, "Talk to me. Why do you like it so much?" And she said, "You're so open. You're candid. You hide nothing. You just talk about your mistakes, and you're very clear in the fact that you make them and have made a lot of them." And she said, "It's going to, every page has another mess up of yours." She said, "It's just going to encourage people as they read it. They're going to just say, wow, if he's messed up, then look what he's done. There's hope for me." And then she started laughing. She said, "There's only one problem." I said, "What's that?" She said, "You didn't get all your failures in the book." She said, and then she said, "I see a series coming on." Failure 101, failure 201, failure 301. She said, "You've got at least a half a dozen failure books in you. This is a spiritual gift in your life, boy." And so we laughed and we howled. And then I've reminded of that story many times. But this is number two of my failing forward series. This is, you know, what's funny is I talk in my first book of all the stupid things I did. And I would think it would be impossible for me to be dumber. You know, you remember the movie Dumb and Dumber? I can promise you, Becky, I've done the Dumb and Dumber now. And in this book, I talk about even dumber things I've done. But what I do in this whole book is I help them understand that the question is not, have you failed? The question is, what did you learn? And here's the way it works, Becky. If you failed and haven't learned, you will do the same failure again. It's the learning that changes our behavior, not the failing. If failing changed our behavior, then the more people fail, the better they would get. That's not true. There are many people, they fail a lot, and they just become worse and worse. Repeated failures. The question is, what did you learn? And so I talk in that book about the DNA of people who learn from their failure. And I just think the book's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to help a lot of people. So, hey, you heard it. If you're in this group today, you heard it from John and Becky first. You got it.
Well, Dr. Maxwell, your experiences and failures and knowledge has obviously benefited millions around the world, including all of us here today, and have really touched our lives. So I want to thank you so, so much. And I can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule to impart that knowledge on us and to be a part of this call today. And for always being so willing to help take us on that journey with you. And I think the greatest part about being here with you is knowing that you truly care about people, and it is a direct reflection of how you deal with us and how it touches our lives. So, and to be a part of this Greatest Version of You leadership program throughout 2013 is just invaluable. So we've all been truly fed today, and I thank you so much, and we definitely look forward to hearing again from you on February 13th.
Well, it's been, thank you for giving me the opportunity, and to each one of you that are on Becky and John's team, I do value you very much. And what you'll find is each month I'll just share with you out of my life. I'm on a wonderful journey, and I'm very grateful for that journey, but I don't want to go alone on it. Why take a great trip by yourself? I'd rather take a great trip with you. So if you don't mind, we'll grow together and we'll learn together this year. And Becky, one more thing before we wrap this up. You got to make me a promise, okay?
Okay. Okay.
You got to promise after today. Now we're friends, okay? We're friends. Now we'll spend some time together, but we're friends. We've had some time on on the phone together. Don't call me Dr. Maxwell anymore. Just call me John, would you?
I would love that.
Okay, really, just because my mom called me John when I was born, and it just fits me. You know what I mean? I just really... Hey, when I came out of her womb, she didn't say, "Well, Dr. Maxwell, we're really glad to have you." And the reason I want you to call me John is because that's my name, and I'm your friend. And any people in your group, if any of you catch me in a speaking engagement or anywhere, and you come up and say, "Hey, I'm part of Kayani, and I'm, you know, I'm with Becky and John, and I listen to you on a greater version of you and all that stuff," just come up and call me John, okay? Because that's who I am, and I'm your friend. And your success and your growth really is my success. So let's just be friends, and let's learn and grow together, and I'm going to love this year. And I just thank you for Becky and John for giving me this privilege.
Thank you, John. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We appreciate, again, you being a part of this. For everyone on the line, we just want to close out with a couple of announcements. We have the Bursell Leadership Event, which is a conference call February 4th. All of the details of the upcoming events with the leaders of Kayani and top money earners will all be on greatestversionofyou.com. And then, of course, in Las Vegas for our international convention for Kayani coming up February 8th and 9th, we will actually be having a Greatest Version of You breakfast, similar to what we did in Long Beach a few months ago. And again, all of the details are on greatestversionofyou.com. You can check all the schedules and what's coming up on events, and obviously don't want to miss anything highlighted with John and with our group, again, on our Facebook site as well. So please stay plugged in, and I can promise you, just like, you know, John has become a member of my own personal board of directors, even though he probably wasn't even aware of that. Please make sure and make this a priority and understand that not only is it an opportunity to grow your business, to grow ourselves, and just like we talked about, to become the greatest version of you. So, again, thank you, John. We appreciate your time. God bless to everyone on the phone, and make it a fabulous week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you very much.